And the Lord did spake, saying, Thou shalt watch me, Ollie, over the grind rail.
And it was a sick Ollie, indeed.
Hello, welcome to the Indie Film Review. We are hosting church in a church skate park, which is part of a film called Deal with the Devil.
That's right.
It's very inexplicable, but there's a church with a skate park in it, which was fascinating to me. So I had to make that joke from the top.
I wanted more of that, because that was great.
It was crazy. It was interesting. Anyway.
You know, the kids might say it's cool.
Oh, the kids. We definitely like to get that younger audience in here, you know?
Hey, everybody.
We got to appeal to them teenagers.
I was going to say Dan. Can I
welcome
be Dan?
Yes, you may be Dan.
All right.
Welcome to the Indie Film Review, where we review independent films. That is Dan. I am Jared.
Yay. We switched names today because my brain is stupid. I'm going to take a drink of water.
Anywho, today we watched a short film by Brittany Ray and a film by Benjamin Thomas called Deal with the Devil. But first, we're going to get into the short film. You can find Brittany Ray at Brittany Ray All Day on Instagram. Follow her. Check her out. Watch
the
movies.
Did she make this film?
She did. She made it and starred in it.
And starred in it? Oh my God. She's so talented.
Yes. No, she wrote and starred in it, and I agree with you, Jared. I really did like this film quite a bit. I think what's fascinating about Brittany and her artistic style is the way in which she incorporates sound into her films.
Mm.
And I say films because she has two films available that I saw on Vimeo, and I liked the first one so much that I did a little clicking on the second one, and I watched that one as well.
Dan, why don't you tell us what this little short film is about?
Certainly. Proximity is about two people working at a seedy hotel that, hook up.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have strange backstories. And they get fired.
For boning.
For boning on the job.
For boning. Ooh. For boning. Boom, boom, boom.
But what's fascinating about this film and the other one, really, because she has two available. Well, I don't know if Proximity, the one we were reviewing, is Proximity, but I saw another one called Kin on Vimeo, and I watched them both, and both of them are very quirky and awkward, and they have this really strange vibe to them that I couldn't get enough of. Like they felt interesting to experience.
Does the second film, because I didn't watch this other short, does that one feel like a continuation of this one, or is
No.
it like a totally different story?
It's a totally different story, but it still has that strangeness to it. Like, there's a incestuous relationship in that one.
Oh, then you probably loved it.
I did love it quite a bit. It was very interesting. But like I said, something between the two movies that I really appreciated was her use of music and the way she edited it into her film.
Edited.
That's a hard two words to say.
I understand. I totally get it. Hey, I will say, if I had to put a little pin in this film most reminds me of like a Wes Anderson type of aesthetic.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
There is such charm and interesting thing is going on in this movie that I was captivated by it the entire time, and I wanted an entire film. Like, I didn't want it to end. The way the camera is shot, and like what you're talking about, the music and the characters and everything else, just everything is keeping your attention. It really goes to show how important it is, like camera placement,
mm-hmm.
and how you're setting up and constructing scenes aesthetically to keep people interested in what they're watching.
Absolutely.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because we're going to talk about another film that I feel like does not do that, really, in that film. And I loved how we got to see both of these movies back to back, just
right.
to see how, because when, oh, it's okay. I was watching Deal with the Devil, and I was like, what is going on with this movie about, what do I not like? What is not working? And I feel like having Proximity there really helps me fill in the gaps of, like, this is what I'm missing. This is what I'm not seeing from Deal with the Devil.
Well, I'm going to be fair to Deal with the Devil and say that there's a lot going for it in terms of its symbolism, in terms of its imagery.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. There was just this lull in Deal with the Devil that I couldn't quite overcome. And it's unfortunate, but I mean, that's kind of what it is.
There are certainly some good things in that movie. We're going to get into, like, the good and the bad, because there are definitely some problems I want to address in that film. But back to Proximity. It's so good. There's, like, it's one of those movies. It's about, like both of the characters are both, like, really attractive, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And then they got this, like, model-looking dude, but he's got this unibrow, and it makes him just look, like, goofy enough. And I guess, is he, like, a kleptomaniac? He, like, steals everything all the time? Or?
I guess. I have no idea.
It's strange. It really, really makes you want to know more about these characters.
But, the film ends with these characters, like, going off together. And we don't really get to know anything about them outside of they just hooked up one day at work. And we get to kind of know their backstories a little bit. I'm not going to spoil too much with them, but I think that the flashbacks were expertly edited together. I feel like Brittany, I cannot praise you enough, because whenever I like to edit my own movies and my own videos, I tend to like to edit music videos the most, because you're editing music together with images. And for some reason, that is my favorite part of the filmmaking process, editing music to images. And she does it expertly well. It's crazy. In both of them. Like, I think I like it better in Kin, if I'm going to be honest, because I don't like Elvis Presley. I just don't. Mm. But in Kin, she uses so many amazing Mozart pieces that mm-hmm. just marry the images perfectly. It's wonderful. And you get to see her boobs.
I knew it. I knew there was a reason, you dirty dog. Also, if Elvis were to marry this song, it would have to be 13 years old. Am I correct? Yes. Because he liked to date really young girls. All right. I loved everything about it. But, like, that diner scene with the girl who was just, like, singing to him. It was almost like a siren call of her, like,
well, that's what happened
trying to
in the
lure
beginning
him.
Of the, that's what happened at the beginning of the movie, too.
But he rejected it. And yes. He took that money and he went with the other girl. Which I was like, I guess that's good, but he's also doing it bad. But it's good. I don't know. There's something about, like, young love and two people, like, it's almost like a Bonnie and Clyde type of, like, we don't care, laissez-faire. We're together and that's all that matters. And I'm just like, man, I'm in. I'm in. Let's go. I don't know where this story's going to go, but it's strange and I love it. And hey, here's the big thing, too. Show, don't tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Proximity is showing you everything. You get to see everything that's going on. When the female lead is saying her backstory, we're seeing it as she's talking about it. It's wonderful. In Deal with the Devil, some of that is, like, a lot of it is just, like, this guy interviewing people, and you're kind of like, I really wish I just would have seen this story play out instead of just seeing two people talking about it and going, man, I really wish I knew what was going on. He's like, yeah, me too. Anyways.
I think, Jared, to be 100% fair to Mr. Thomas, again, thank you, Benjamin, for giving us this submission. We should get into his film and
we'll talk about
what we liked about it. And I'm going to play devil's advocate with the film and I'm going to defend it quite a bit, because I feel like there is a film worth watching here. Like I said, a lot of really cool imagery in it. There's a lot of really cool narrative devices in it as well. It's just they get lost sometimes. So we'll start this up. So Deal with the Devil is about a guy.
This guy.
Who is an author. And he
is
studying a supposed serial killer by living in the serial killer's house for a week. And his publicist is basically saying, you live here for a week, you write this novel or biography about this guy. Is this Don Harris, I think is his name? I don't know. And this writer is tasked with writing his story and interviewing people that were surrounded by Don, or who surrounded Don.
People who surround Don daily.
Yes. and just trying to figure out the whole issue with him. And it turns out that Don has been, I don't want to say possessed by the devil, but the devil has clinged on to him in one way, shape, or form, and is making him commit these murders.
Dan, would you say he's made some kind of deal with the devil? Lightning sound.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yes, yeah, cool. Okay, awesome.
So the first thing I want to bring up, before we start to get into the insanity that Jared might give to us.
You know me too well.
I want to say that my favorite part of this movie, it's so simple, and it was such a nice touch, and I feel like it was an afterthought, but it was wonderful to me.
Okay.
There are multiple scenes, and I wish he did it more, that the devil dragged around this archaic-looking red chair and sat down in it. Like, you know, Django dragged the cross the entire movie.
Yes.
Like the original Django. Oh my God, that image was fantastic. And it's not explained, and it made me happy to watch that. I just wanted to see more of him just pulling up a chair to wherever Don
was. I did think the red velvet chair was actually pretty cool. And I thought the guy who played the devil was pretty awesome. Cool. Yeah. I liked him. I liked the casting of the writer. I thought he was good. He actually, there was a lot of moments where he was pretty believable in his, like, fear of what was going on. And it's just unfortunate that I didn't feel any fear while I was watching the movie. But he did a pretty good job of trying to portray that. Because there's, like, a moment where, like, the phone rings or something and he, like, tries to reach for it and, like knocks into the desk or whatever, and like his eyes will go crazy when he's freaked out. I thought that was really great. But there was a lot of times where he kept getting phone calls, and they were like scary phone calls. Oh no. And his producer or whatever would call him from this like old-timey phone. And he's like, man, I keep getting pranked all the time. And I'm like, unplug this fucking phone. You have a cell phone, dumbass. Like, why are you letting people call you on this phone?
Maybe he did unplug it, and he's still getting calls.
Don't spoopies. I don't know. Okay, so more good stuff. I liked a lot of the casting. I thought the camera work and everything else was serviceable would be the word. So it was good, but it wasn't doing anything that artistic or anything that would really hold your attention. Because there's different ways to hold people's attention. So you have dialogue, you have visuals, you have sound, which Dan is really into. And what you really want to do is combine all those things together. So, like, you're never bored at any moment. I'm not saying you have to, like, shoot off, like fireworks or something. You know, like, we don't need, like, a Michael Bay movie for, like, explosions and, I don't know, goofy shit like that. But there's ways to take a scene of, like, you filming an alley, and depending on how you film, like, just an empty alley, It'll change the whole, like, meaning of what's going on, even if there's no characters there. And it's all dependent on how you're filming it, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I think in this movie, it's just doing a serviceable job of filming all the scenes, and it's not doing a lot of interesting things with the shots, which is unfortunate to me.
That I can't defend, because okay. I agree with that. However, there is a lot, like I said, to this movie that saves it. One of the strengths, I think, of this film was the writing in terms of the dialogue, because the titular devil has some crazy ass cool dialogue. I loved every single time he was talking to Don or anybody. I'm like, this guy is awesome. He's changing the way I think about the world in general, which you want a film to do, really.
Yes.
Also, the devil turned Irish for a scene.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was going to get stuck in being Irish.
That's what I thought happened too.
He's like,
he was.
Why is my Irish pirate?
He turned jovial and Irish for like 5 minutes, and after he was talking about Ireland, he continued to talk in an Irish accent.
Yeah,
I'm like,
wait,
what's
like,
going
oh.
on?
When you read the IMDb of this, it says, the movie is about an artist who makes a deal with the devil, but he's got to, like, do some bad stuff, right? Something to that effect. But this movie is really about a writer
who's exploring him.
Yes, he's exploring him. Ooh, that sounds a lot more risque. He is living in this artist's house, because the guy is a serial killer. He's trying to find out why he killed all these women who are his fans. Turns out that artist made a deal with the devil, and he had to strangle women and kill them for
and then Satan. Take trophies for the devil, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, this is neat.
And another thing that I think works in this film is it's a, you know, dealing with the devil is a tired trope, I would argue.
Yes.
This was a nice fresh spin on it because the devil wanted trophies, and that's part, like, it becomes part of the plot where there's a survivor of Don,
and she finds
The box of the devil's trophies because for some reason the devil keeps them in Don's house.
Yeah, I think the devil put the box there for her to find it because he wouldn't kill his girlfriend.
Oh,
he was like mad at him. Like,
okay.
Hey, dickhead, you need to kill your girlfriend now. He's like, no, I don't want to. It's my girlfriend. He's like, all right, asshole, I'm gonna mess your shit up. It was confusing as to what the devil could interact with and what he could not do. Because I thought he was a passive observer, but then like he could like hold handcuffs and other things and like give them to the main character. So I'm like, can the devil do shit or not? Is he able to interact with things or not? So I don't know. Because, I mean, he could interact with that chair, that cool chair, but I just thought it was like a devil chair and that was like his, you know, he brought it from home, you know?
There's just something about people dragging things that always gets me going. Like,
it's fucking anime. It's fucking cool.
I made a music video where like a guy drags what looks like a dead body all over the place.
Just,
I like the motif of dragging because there's something about it, like there's something weighing you down that you have, like it's almost like what's that one myth where the guy like pushes the boulder up the hill and then...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. And he's never able to push it all the way up to the top. It always falls and he's going to keep doing it forever.
There's something about that ongoing feeling that dragging kind of brings out in me in terms of being a figure.
Steve Smith is the legend. Yeah.
Thank you.
He's got to push
Smith.
That boulder. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For HR. So we kind of all over the place. I mean, we kind of spoiled some things.
Oh, We didn't even
do questions, too. Yeah, we didn't even do questions. We're just kind of like free-balling right now. Free-rolling. Free-falling. Living the dream. Loving life. Dan, here's a question for you.
Why did you shave your beard?
Yeah, that's my first question.
I fucked up shaving. That's why.
I can't even grow a beard, so I'm mad jelly. All right, second question. Did you think this movie would be better if they focused on the artist more than the writer?
Yes.
Or does it matter? Does it even matter? Okay.
I don't know if it's because it was playing with my expectations, like I said, or like you said, whenever you read the IMDb, it says it's about an artist. But then again, they probably tried to fix the tired trope of an artist dealing with the devil. You know what I mean? So it might be kind of this limbo it's existing in where it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't, I think.
Yeah, but taking one trope and masking it with another trope is like, okay. What are
we
doing?
I suppose so. Yeah, you're right.
I kind of like the rock star guy in the beginning who was like praying in the skate park
church.
I was like, I want to see that movie.
Because the devil... Also, okay, so...
Did the devil command that homeless guy to fucking kill the...
Was that a homeless guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I think he
did.
Commanded that homeless guy. So there was this really cool idea in the movie where people who are, like, super sad or something, or like, the homeless or the destitute, like, the devil can, like, get to them quicker or easier because they're desperate. And I like the idea of people being, like... In a vulnerable state like that and being able to be manipulated directly by the devil to where, like, he can take them over instead of having to make deals with them and then have, like, control them like puppets and make them do shit. That was fucking cool. If they would have played on that more and, like, threatened the main character with shit like that, I think that would have been really neat. I almost wanted more of a struggle between the artist and the devil of him, like, not doing what he tells him. At first, he kills his wife in, like, a thing of passion or whatever. He's just like, my wife is the worst. I'm just going to smash her brains in. She's cheating on me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, no, what have I done? And then the devil's like, okay, I'm going to make you famous now. Kill a bunch more women. He's like, all right. he does it immediately. He doesn't even think about it. He's like, all right, we're gonna start killing everybody. I thought he should have been resistant to begin with, not when he just gets a girlfriend that he likes. And then it could have been like his struggle between him and the devil and him fucking with him and shit and like sending homeless people to try to kill him. I don't know. I really like that idea. I thought it was cool.
Right.
You got a question for me?
You
son of a bitch.
Hold on.
Don't ask about this third nipple. I know I'm not wearing a t-shirt right now.
Okay.
Do you like movies?
No. We're going to talk about a scene in the process of me asking this question.
Sure. Let's do it. Let's get weird.
How did you like the weird seance scene?
Do you mean with the psychic lady?
No, not that one. The one where, like, the ghost team comes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I straight up thought that when they were doing the blinky lights and those women were behind them, I'm just like, oh, that's just more their crew. I didn't realize they were ghosts.
Okay, so there's a scene where there's a seance thing happening with the ghost crew. Mm-hmm. And
hashtag ghost crew.
These people show up behind the writer. And at first, I thought it was well done and extremely creepy. And I'm like,
it just went on for too long.
Awesome. And then, yes, it went on for way too long.
Yeah.
And it's an unfortunate thing. It was a great idea, but then it fell on its head.
Here's how it went for me. It was like, oh, that are they part of the crew? Holy shit, those are ghosts. Okay, they're still there. Oh, that lady's still kind of like reaching out at them. Ah, it's been like 3 minutes. Ooh, we can wrap this up. All right, they're gone. So it went from like, oh, this is really cool to, yeah, it definitely overstayed its welcome. Not much of a question, Dan. I mean, I feel like you give me another question. You're really really pulling my long johns here. I mean, I'm a professional podcaster.
Ask another question? Is that
yeah, I feel like I deserve another great question.
How did you like the art?
Oh, boy. Why in every movie that we watch where there's like an artist and they're like, look at my really good art. Is the art the worst thing you've ever seen? Holy shit. I mean, I know I'm not being nice right now. I know that. And I apologize, but who are we kidding?
On purpose, because they brought it up in the film.
Like, I think they did realize that this shit is not good. And because the devil's like, I'll make it all right. People will like it. Because, yeah, I guess that's part of the thing is like his art is terrible, but then the devil's going to make it so that people think it's really good, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's speaking to, I feel like, and maybe this is the intent of the film, but it's speaking to mediocrity, because I feel like whenever he starts playing violin,
yeah,
you know, he's good at the violin, but he's not great at the violin.
The devil even says something to that effect. He's like, I'm going to make you pretty good at all these things, but I guess people are just going to think you're amazing.
Doesn't that hit anywhere home culturally for you? Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's a big statement that the film is trying to make.
That makes sense.
Mediocrity, guys.
All right, Dan, I got a question for you. Do you think you learned anything from the interviews of the writer talking to any of the interviewees?
Yes, I did.
About the killer.
I learned, well, about the killer, no. But that's kind of why I say the writing is good in this film, because there's a lot of really cool nods to the situation. There's weird parallels to the guy's life and the devil himself. The art dealer says something about, like, you know, art dealers whisper in people's ears, like mm-hmm. the devil does. The guy who is apparently his best friend said, Susan, his girlfriend, she was from hell, you know? So like there's a lot of interesting ideas that kind of made me think that Don was already on that path to begin with.
He was in his own hell.
Yeah.
It's almost like he was, already there. We all live in our own personal hell. I don't know. My life's pretty great. but yeah, I see what you mean. But yeah, I did feel like for the majority of this film is us spending time with this writer who is interviewing people, and we're not learning anything from them. They are telling us things that the main character already knows and that we basically already know over and over again. And I'm just like, there's no mystery here. There's no tension or suspense. There's like, I don't get what we're supposed to be getting out of this interaction. And it was hard for me to hold my attention. This is my final thoughts, by the way. I don't think I can recommend this movie. I think it was competently made. I just don't think there was enough there to really hold my attention throughout the whole film.
Instead of final thoughts, I'm going to do a new segment.
Uh-oh.
Called Dan's Confessional.
Oh.
A.K.A. What Dan Really Wants. The lead character, Don, who's doing all these murders, reminded me, from his looks, of Zach Galifianakis. Now I want to see this movie again in the same pacing, but with Zach Galifianakis being Zach Galifianakis.
Oh my god. That would be so good. That would be so good.
He like nonchalantly makes the deal with the devil and then just does all his awkward, weird Zach Galifianakis mannerisms throughout the entire film.
Him hanging himself.
Or yelling at the devil. I don't want to kill her.
I don't want to kill her. That sounds great, man. I'd be super down for that. All right, so plugs here. We got Facebook. We're at Indie Film Review on Facebook. Twitter, it's at Indie Film Pod. Gmail is theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We are also on Podbean. That is our hosted website. And if you'd like to come talk to us on the Discord, it is...
Hey, man. What? You're taking over way too much.
Fine, so, you do a thing then, you jerk.
We are hosted on the Necropodicon Network, and you can join us on the Necropodicon Discord, where you can come talk to us, just like Jared said. However, now they've incorporated something new, that whenever you talk on the Necropodicon Network, you get something called Necropodic Coins. And the more you talk, the more coins you get, and then you can spend your coins on things like blackjack and Russian roulette and game giveaways.
Social currency.
I've been having a lot of fun playing blackjack. Me too.
I like blackjack a lot. Russian roulette scares me because I don't want to die.
But one day we might try it out. Anyway, you forgot to find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod, but please check us out where you can find us.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
Send us more movies.
We're fucking
everywhere.
We love
all of them.
We're constantly getting movies coming in from like Instagram, fucking Facebook, Twitter, our email. It's all the time. Just, it's so great. Reddit too. Like just randomly, we'll just get requests from people, and it really warms my cockles to know that people are listening and people are submitting, and I love it. Thank you guys so much. It makes me so emotional. Okay. And with that, Dan, I think you have the final word.
Bum 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 bum. Run away.